Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Richard Polinelli, only on LA Talk Radio.
Give me a career as a buccaneer, it's the life of a pirate for me. Oh, the life of a pirate for me. Oh, pirate's life is a wonderful life, they never bury your bones. For when it's all over, a jolly sea rover drops in on his friend Davy Jones. Oh, his very good friend Davy Jones.
That is the Judd Conlon chorus. That is the original recording of The Pirate's Life from the Disney movie Peter Pan. Did I do good?
You did good.
Okay. Well, good evening. It's another Thursday night. This, of course, is LA Talk Radio. You're listening to The Writer's Block. I am Jim Christini, your host, in studio with Richard Polinelli this evening and Bobby Jean Bell on the phone from Albuquerque, New Mexico. She's no longer our rover. She is now glued to Albuquerque. So,
yeah.
Damn it.
And I'll be there in 2 weeks.
Yes,
you will. You'll be here on the 19th, and we are so excited.
Yes.
And we'll go through that at the end of the show, because the person that's going to be on the air with us that night is also exciting. Okay. Take it, Richard.
All right. Since 2009, Target Freight has had a full truckload service, TFM truckload, and LTL service that is the best in the industry. Not only are they exceptionally good at what they do, but they work hard to make your full truckload shipping or LTL experience unparalleled using their customized traffic movement program. So call TFM Truckload or Target Freight Management LTL today at 1-844-653-7789 and ask for Mike Matruski for truckload or for any of the fine account managers at 888-653-1323 for LTL. And tell them that you heard about them on the Writer's Block, and TFM will have a little something extra for you. Or if you prefer, www.targetfmi.com is the web address to go check out, and they'll take care of you.
There you go. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Okay. All right. You know what? I'm so excited. Never in almost 3 years. We have had wonderful authors on this show. We have had absolutely phenomenal books. I mean, I could go all night and talk about some of the great authors and great books we've had. I don't think that we've ever had one that's been as, what's a good way to put it, Bobby? Such a smash on his first novel.
Yes, and prestigious in his whole career, his writing career,
right,
and acting career,
correct.
This is like the crown jewel that we have with us tonight.
Yes, he is. And we've had some crown jewels. I mean, we've had big time guys here. And so we have another one tonight. So, without further ado, our guest tonight began his career with the play and movie Agnes of God. Since then, he has three more plays mounted on Broadway and more than 25 films, television movies, and miniseries produced. Most recently, he has written and acted in the internationally successful limited series, The Pillars of Earth, named the fifth best miniseries of all time. Recently wrote the stage adaptation of The Exorcist for its West End premiere in October 2017. It recently played in Birmingham, England, to glorious reviews. And, you know, I love that, glorious reviews. Okay. And enthusiastic standing ovations. How does The Exorcist get standing ovation? Anyway, The Exorcist will also be making its Broadway stage debut in New York City in spring 2018. So he's about ready to do that. He has also received the Humanitas Award plus two nominations, five Writers Guild Award nominations, a Gemini nomination, an Edgar Award, the Cammy Award, the Christopher Award, and his projects have won a Gemini Award and been nominated for the Emmy three times and Golden Globe. So, without further ado, would you please welcome to the Writer's Block, John Leonard Pailmeyer.
Wow, thank you.
Well, you know, we asked you...
I don't know how to follow that.
Well, we asked you to write your own bio because, you know, for obvious reasons. If you lie, your friends know, and then we don't, you know, it's off our shoulders. Hello, John.
Thank you.
We are so happy to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be
here.
Oh,
my God. I mean, it's talking to you is like I'm on my knees genuflecting as I'm talking to you right now.
I mean, and I'm the one who has to see this.
You're like the real deal. You are the real deal.
We're all the real deal.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah. We'll take that.
I will.
You're good? Okay. And Bobby, I know you'll take it. So there we go. I want to get right into this book because this book is like phenomenal. First of all, tell me who is Captain James Cook?
Captain James Cook is in my book. Is the real name of the fellow that we know as Captain Hook from the Peter Pan tale.
Right.
And this book is called Hook's Tale, and it's basically Captain Hook's memoir, in which he puts the record straight, telling the true story about his life and his relationship with Peter Pan and his adventures on the Never Isles.
I have to tell you, we were all three of us, fascinated by this story. Richard and I ripped through it in like one day.
Yeah, usually I read a book in four sections over 4 days. I started this thing Sunday morning, and I finished Sunday afternoon. And I was ready to go back and read it again.
Yeah, it's
well,
it's,
you know, when I wrote it, I wanted to write something that was similar to the kind of boys' adventure books that I wrote that I read when I was a child. Mm-hmm. You know, Treasure Island was sort of my model in many ways for mm-hmm. this.
Well,
even though it's was not written by J.M. Barrie, but written by another one of my favorite authors,
Robert Louis Stevenson. Yeah, you capture so much of the integral part of not only of the sailing culture of England in the
1870s, 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
And
Hook
also
was born in 1860.
Right. But also the countenance and the cadence of the English language back then. And it was amazing to listen to read the voices that were coming out of your book, and you virtually wrote them so you could hear them.
Thank
it was
you.
Absolutely
Thank
wonderful.
Well, I did hear them. I mean, I heard them.
Well, sure.
You know, this book was a gift to me. It just came to me. It was a marvelous gift.
Well, yes, it was. And it's going to be a gift for everyone who picks up a copy. Because if you're a Peter Pan freak, and there are a lot of us out there that watched the original Disney cartoon, and then we watched Hook, and seen Mary Martin, I don't know, for year after year after mm-hmm, year on mm-hmm. TV.
I have a sister named Wendy, yes.
There you go. And
you know the name Wendy was invented by J.M. Barrie for Peter Pan?
Was it really?
See, that's so interesting.
Really, it was created, he was called, there was a little girl that he was friends with. She was 4 years old, and he called her my little friend, and she called him my Fwendy. And he sort of took Fwendy and dropped the F and turned that into Wendy. And
well, yeah, Wendy's.
So it's really not a nickname for Gwendolyn.
Okay,
mm-hmm. It is. It's name.
A standalone name. Mm-hmm. I actually had a friend in high school named Wendy, so she was really special. But back to Peter Pan.
Yeah, listen.
it's really, you know, I mean, as we follow James Cook through the book, and then. I'm not going to give away a lot of this stuff because so much of it is like
well,
so much fun.
I mean, he says near at the beginning, he says, everything you think you know about me
right.
is a lie.
Well, yeah.
And that, to me, is the essence of what this book is about.
Exactly. And we find out...
He's setting the record straight, at least according to him.
We find out that Peter isn't exactly that nice of a little kid. And
I never thought that he was either. Anyway,
and he doesn't wear green tights and a green suit. He actually wears leaves or nothing.
Or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
He likes being naked.
And for those people who say, "Oh my gosh, please don't spoil Peter Pan for me," I like to think that J.M. Barrie would be very happy with this book himself. It's. I know a lot about Barrie. I've written a one-man show on Barrie years ago, so mm-hmm. I sort of had done all my research over the last 30 years on J.M. Barrie and Peter mm-hmm. Pan. So I think this is in many ways an homage to Peter Pan.
Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. I mean, in reading it, even though it's a completely different take on the Peter Pan that we all know, and it paints Peter in a different light, when I got done with the book and I'm looking at the two stories, your book, in a way, enhances the original.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't damage it. It doesn't diminish it. It actually gives you a more fuller understanding of everybody that's involved in the original Pan. So I don't know how anybody can say it ruined it.
Right, right. You had said the other night that you would like to read a passage.
I'd love to.
Would you please?
I sure would. The passage I picked out is the very beginning of chapter 4, and I think any listener who doesn't know the book, all they need to know is that Hook, at this point, is 14 years old, as he is through most of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And he has made his way to this mysterious archipelago of islands. I won't explain at this point how he gets there. That's in the first three chapters. And he finds himself in the crow's nest of a burning ship about to die, and suddenly out of the air appears this flying boy who rescues him and flies him to an island in the middle of this archipelago and brings him to the center of the island, and they land. And as they land, Hook turns to the boy, 14-year-old Hook turns to the boy and says, "Thank you, kind sir." "Oh, I'm not a sir," he said in proper English. "I'm a boy. My name's Peter. What's yours?" "James," I replied, and as I stood, I held out my hand for him to shake. He simply stared at it. "Are you giving me something?" he asked. "My hand," I replied. He seemed puzzled. "But there's nothing in it," he said. I'm giving you my hand," I said again, uncertain how to make my intention clearer. "Please take it. I don't want it. I've two of my own." I thought he was joking, and I laughed. "Do you think I'm funny?" he asked sternly. "Oh, I think what you said was funny." "Was it?" And now he laughed, and soon we both were laughing together. "Oh, I saw your house burning and that you were in trouble. I was playing hide-and-seek with Tink, else I would never have found you. It was her turn to hide, and sometimes she goes quite far away." "Oh, it wasn't my house, it was a ship," I explained, puzzled at his choice of words. "And who's Tink?" "Oh, you'll meet her soon enough. She's very irritating at times, but she's all I have to play with. Until now," he grinned, studying me head to toe as if I were his captive. "What's that?" He was pointing to my trousers. "Oh, trousers," I answered. It was now that I noticed that he was clothed in leaves and mud, with a few seashells dangling from a liana belt that barely served up a modicum of modesty. Had he dressed like that in London, he would have been arrested. "Trousers? But there's only one of them," he observed with grammatical correctness. "Well," I said, somewhat at a loss, "there are two legs." "Oh," was all he answered. "Where are we?" I asked, looking around. "Home," he said. He started walking away from me. I instantly followed. "Do you have a name for it?" "Home. I mean, the island." "Home." "I see. Well, what would you call it?" "I don't know. I've never been any place like this." "Never?" "No, never." "Then it's never to you. Home to me." And that's...
What a wonderful passage.
Please tell me you're doing the audiobook
for
wonderful.
This.
Thank you. I mean, I like to think that in many sections of the book, it's very funny.
It is. And that's
that very sort of way.
That passage, we've spoken about this the other night, in case you guys are wondering. And we were laughing about it because where else does names come from?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's never. That's his name of his island now.
So,
never.
So are you going
and
to
And I
do
try to explore things like that from the book. I, you know, kind of explain how Smee gets his name. And,
right.
And of course, there's the whole subplot of the crocodile, which
right.
is mm-hmm. One
I
of my
that.
Favorite sections of the book.
The croc is so good.
Yeah.
Daisy.
That croc is so cool.
Yeah, the croc is named Daisy, and she's Hook's pet. I don't think I'm spoiling too much.
After
his mom.
Hey, John, are you planning?
Yes, right. He hatches her and raises her.
Right.
Are you planning on doing an audiobook? Because you should do it.
Yes,
seriously. I have done an audiobook. Actually, it's available in an audiobook by Brilliance. You can find it wherever audiobooks are sold.
We will look. Actually,
I'll
look
be buying
them
tonight.
Yes.
So, yeah.
May I just ask John a quick question?
Of course.
um, John, this is your first novel, and you have just written so much for stage and screen and been an actor as well. This surely could have just sprung full-fledged as a play, but you chose to do it as a novel.
It came to me as a novel. It just seemed to me in novel form. Can I tell you the story behind it?
Yes,
absolutely, please.
About it was kind of an astonishing, really astonishing experience. My wife and I went on a cruise on the Oceania Line about 3-4 years ago, and it was a cruise going from Valparaiso, Chile, to Tahiti, and one of the main stops, and it was Easter Island, and some place I'd always wanted to visit, so that's why we chose this cruise. But the very first stop on the cruise was an island called Robinson Crusoe Island, which is just off the coast of Chile, and it's a small island, and it's called Robinson Crusoe Island because and I sort of vaguely knew this, that in 1704 there was a British sailor named Alexander Selkirk who was on a ship in the Pacific, and the ship was leaking, and he went to the captain and said, we need to fix this ship or we'll sink. And the captain said, I don't have time to deal with this. If you're not happy, get off the boat. So they put him sort of a voluntary maroonee on this deserted island. And he lived there for 4 years. He would climb to a ridge dividing the island every day and light a bonfire, hoping he could finally, after 4 years, he was rescued, brought back to London, and he became the first celebrity survivor. He was incredibly famous for like 15 minutes, and one of the people who heard his story was Daniel Defoe. And Defoe said, oh, this is an interesting story, and he wrote Robinson Crusoe.
Right. Yeah.
True story, which is why the island is now named Robinson Crusoe Island. And it's there's one tiny, beautiful town on it, but all you can do in the island, really, as a tourist, is hike. And my wife and I love to hike. So we got off the boat, and we started hiking up to the ridge where Selkirk had lit his bonfires. And I'm walking up this ridge. It's a very steep climb, and we stopped to catch our breath. And I turned around and looked out and saw our cruise ship in the bay. And suddenly, and I swear this was in a matter of seconds, it dawned on me that Selkirk described the island, and Defoe probably had drawn a map of it for Robinson Crusoe. And Robert Louis Stevenson's favorite book was Robinson Crusoe, and so I thought, well, maybe Treasure Island is kind of vaguely based on this island. And J.M. Barrie's favorite book was Treasure Island, and I thought, well, maybe Neverland was kind of based on this island too. And suddenly I thought, oh my gosh, I'm walking in Neverland. And suddenly, where I saw the cruise ship, there was Captain Hook's ship sitting out in the bay. And we climbed to the top of this ridge, and on the other side was Mermaid's Lagoon, and up in the north was this promontory that where Tiger Lily's village was. It became so real to me. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I started asking myself questions. Well, the real island is part of an archipelago. Was Neverland part of that? How did Hook get here? If he's a pirate, who is he pirating? What's his story? What's going on here? Why can't he fly? And all of these questions just started bubbling up inside me. And as soon as we got home from the cruise, I sat down on my computer and started writing this book.
Well, I'm glad you did.
It flowed from
I'm glad you did.
Wherever to me.
Yeah,
there
boy,
you
I'm
go.
So glad that you did.
If you want to call and talk to John, who is on the line with us live right now, live from New York, it's John. The number in the studio here is 818-602-4929. Again, that number is 818-602-4929. And if you haven't read Hook's Tale, or you were thinking about buying it, oh, do not hesitate, because this book is phenomenal. It's such a fun read. It is such a fun read.
Hey, John, there's a section that probably is not going to be, you know, on the top 10 for people who read it, but I got a kick out of reading this and the way you tell this the demise of Long Tom during the I don't want to stop there because I don't want to do spoilers. The way you set that up, the way you had that all play out, and the way you described it, I mean, I could go back and read that passage a couple of times and then continue on.
Well,
it was well done.
For those of you, there are a lot of cookies in the book for Peter Pan aficionados.
Yeah.
And one of the things that in Peter Pan is that the gun on the pirate ship is called Long Tom.
Right.
And so I said to myself, okay, why is this called Long Tom? So
right.
I sort of made up a reason for that and created a character who is with us briefly named Long Tom.
I think a page and a quarter, maybe.
It was a great page.
But the book is filled with things like that. That's so fun. Is the backstories that you create. As much as you're telling Hook's story, you end up also telling his father's story, and you tell his mm-hmm. mother's story, and mm-hmm. you take us back to London, and we do meet Wendy and such. But there, to me, there were certainly minor Wendy and the siblings and all were certainly more minor characters than we see in Peter Pan,
right.
But that's partly mm-hmm. because this is Hook's story. It's not Wendy's
Hook's story,
story
right.
You know.
But the part that we know of as Peter Pan is really the last part, very last part of the book.
Right, right.
The book is sort of leading. Most of the book is leading up to that.
Right.
And explaining Hook's point of view about it all.
And you smartly introduce us to Peter abducting the Lost Boys,
mm-hmm.
which because mm-hmm. I remembered as I was reading the book, I remembered reading Barry's novel back. Golly, I don't even know how old I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was like prepubescent, I'm sure. And the Lost Boys were, you know, the kids that were just all over the place, and it did
well,
dawn
I mean, yeah, I mean that's very much straight out of Barry. I mean,
right,
Peter kind of flies there and back to London and takes these babies that they're the babies who have fallen out of their
their prams.
Prams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like it's wonderful that, and then he just makes everybody he makes Crooks so angry. And everything is like coming apart for Peter at this point. So it's mm-hmm. it really I have to tell you, that's just one of the best books I've ever read. No
Thank
kidding.
You. Thank you.
And I write some pretty good stuff, but I haven't. You
so
got
John,
me beat. Go ahead.
It sounds like it was just bubbling. You could hardly wait to get pen to paper or fingers on the keyboard or
totally.
However.
Yeah.
Your writing process, we love to also have an opportunity to chat a little about a writing
yes.
process. Was this the only project you were working on at the time, or did it just compel you?
Well, it became the only project I was working at the time. I was so compelled by it. I mean, I wrote the book in 5 weeks, and I don't say that to brag. I say that to say how passionate I was about it, and mm-hmm. that it just kept coming out of me, and I couldn't stop. I just could not stop.
Yeah, I've had that happen before, so yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I mean, it's why I describe it as a kind of gift to me, because, mm-hmm. you know, I never write that fast.
Uh-huh.
I'm a pretty fast writer, but I don't write that fast.
Yeah.
Did you find after it was written that you did have editing, did you have to cut some things out, or were you able to keep it...
Not a little bit.
Not much.
No, the book, and when I sent it to my editor, my editor said there was very little stuff that he had notes on, and there were his suggestions were wonderful and very smart, and they were essentially minor suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you put together a masterpiece. That is for sure. And for fans of Peter Pan, man, like I said, if you don't buy this book, you know, I don't know.
And I think it's also, I mean, what I love about it is too, is that I think it's totally appropriate for at least 12 and up. I mean, I've had some kids who've come to me and said
they've
read it
easily
in 2 days. And,
easily.
And it's, I love that I can speak, that it speaks to adults and young adults.
Right.
If you like books that are take the same story and put it through the other's eyes, like Myths of Avalon mm-hmm. is one of my mm-hmm. favorites, with the telling of the King Arthur stories through the eyes of the women.
Yeah.
Wicked kind of does that for Wizard of Oz. I think that's also really compelling, whether you're kind of a fan of Peter Pan or not, the whole concept of here it is through...
Right. Well, we know the wonderful, exciting things about reading books like that is we sort of know a little bit about the background
right.
already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you've not read Barry's novel or seen his play, we know enough about Peter Pan,
right.
most people
right.
do, to, you know, kind of... No, this is a boy who flies and
right.
And never wants to grow up. You know, that's he's part of the culture in that way.
And then it's you know you see Disney's movie and then you have to watch you know Mary Martin. And you're,
No.
Sounds like you're not fond of Mary Martin.
You know, my mother when I was a kid, my mother made us sit and watch it every single year it came on. That and the mm-hmm. Wizard of Oz.
It was magical for me when I was a kid.
And you know, for them, it was a babysitter.
The music is great.
Yeah, the music is wonderful.
For my folks, it was so a babysitting fun. Job. You know. Hey, Mary Martin's on. Hey, Peter Pan's on tonight, kids. Oh, really? Oh, boy.
It's Broadway's answer to Disneyland's.
And I've seen several productions, the musical and several productions, the play, and it's just such a wonderful piece.
So let me break away from Peter Pan a little bit and from Hook, and let me ask you about some of the plays that you've come up with, and specifically The Exorcist. How in the world did you ever think to turn that into a play?
Well, it was sort of brought to me in a way, and I was asked by some people if I was interested in turning this into the novel into a play, and I reread it and I thought yes, totally, because it's such in many ways it's such a play. I mean, it's a sort of flip side version of Agnes of God in a mm-hmm. certain way. Mm-hmm. If anybody is familiar with Agnes of God,
I am.
It's a book that primarily takes place in a bedroom. And it essentially circles around a small cast group of people.
Right.
I thought, my gosh, this is in many ways a perfect play. The challenge, of course, is the special effects, and you can't try to recreate it's not about recreating the movie.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you want to give people what they are expecting,
mm-hmm.
but you also want to give them something more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think hopefully that's what this does.
Well, I read The Exorcist before I ever saw the movie, and I was very disappointed in the movie. Although it was freaky and it was scary, and
I love the movie, and I love the book so much better. And the book it obviously expands in so many ways that the movie can't. And the book is much more spiritual. I mean, it's very much of a
exactly.
It's not so much about it's a spiritual journey,
mm-hmm.
and it's not. So much about the devil as about the devil losing.
Right.
About people finding their faith, finding
right.
something
right.
to hold on to in their lives
right.
in a very positive way. It's an incredibly positive story.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good.
Really
book.
Look at it.
It's a very good book. And another. And again, if you haven't read The Exorcist from William Peter Blatty, it's a great read. It is a great read.
Yes.
And again, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929 if you want to call in and talk to John or just say, you know, I don't like you guys, get off the air. So,
John, has that opened on Broadway yet or is it?
No,
still...
actually, it's not going to come in. It's not 2018, it's 2019. It'll be
coming
to New York in about a year.
Okay.
Our plan is to hopefully open it in a year. We have a theater, and we're just waiting for that theater to empty itself.
Mm-hmm.
which one?
Is occupying before then. So,
uh-huh.
Which theater is it going to open in? Or can you say?
Well, I can't really talk about that yet.
Okay. Yeah.
Not allowed to say that yet.
Okay.
Will you make some changes to it, would you say, from it's the way that
I've already
it appeared
done a small rewrite. I'm constantly rewriting. I'm a rewrite freak, so it's hard to get me to stop rewriting. And after London, I made some changes out of the London production, and so we have a rehearsal script that will go into rehearsal.
Excellent.
And that'll probably change, too.
Excellent. Well, take a drink out of that mug. I'm going to take a small, small little musical break, and we'll be back to you in just a few seconds. So don't hang up, please. Sam, we'll be right back to you.
Thanks.
And we are back. It is now 7:29 in Los Angeles, and we are on the air with Bobby Jean and Richard and myself. And okay, John, I did it again. Pielmeyer, is that it?
Pielmeyer.
Okay, I got the Leonard part right. John Leonard Pielmeyer. Got it. Okay, and he's the author of a great, great book called Hook's Tale about Captain Hook. And I have to tell you, one more thing about this book is that I love your reference to J.M. Barrie in the book. Several derogatory mentions to J.M. Barrie. And I just thought, how appropriate. Because at first you call him the F, blank, 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 Scotsman.
No, I don't. I don't use that word.
No, but, you know, hence, it's good for 12-year-olds. But pretty much everybody know what you meant.
He never calls him by name. He refers to him as
the lying Scotsman, I think.
The lying little Scotsman.
There you go.
Yeah. But so the name of the show is The Writer's Block, and we have to ask this question every week to our writers that come on. Have you ever had writer's block? And if you have, what have you done? And if you haven't, how do you just pass it off?
I haven't had writer's block. I'm gifted in that way. I just, if I have trouble writing, if I start writing someday and it's just not coming, I write anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because the art of writing, I believe, is really the art of rewriting. And so if I write crap, that's okay, because I can fix it the next day. And it's easier for me to fix something that is there than to... You can't fix a blank page, so... I write something, and then that will goose me to write more the next day.
Okay, that makes sense. Of course, you're sitting... You know, there's two of us sitting in the studio that are two of the biggest purveyors of crap in the literary world. Bobby Jean will attest.
I noticed your website is wonderful, by the way. Much information.
Yes.
And I love the backstories. You provide a backstory on just about every one of the things that you have listed. It seems that you are inspired a lot by books you have read. Do you read all the time? Are you a reader?
And I could not. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have at least one book by my side. I usually have two going at a time.
Mm-hmm.
What are your favorite genres? What do you grab for most?
To escape, I read mystery books. And true crime mysteries, sometimes if they're sort of elegantly written. And my wife just bought the newest C.J. Box book, and we're both drooling. We can't wait to get there.
Hey, you have a call coming in.
And then at the same time, I love classics. As you can tell from Hook, I love 19th century British novels.
You have a call coming in, John, so hang tough.
Okay.
Is this the bookie? Don't tell me I hung up on her. Oh, God, she's going to kill me. the bookie is my wife, and she's the one that got you booked on the show.
Uh-huh.
You just hung up on her.
And I just hung up on her.
Uh-oh.
So let me fix that real quick. Yeah.
Guess who's going to be sleeping in the doghouse tonight?
Yeah, I do that. That's my number. Here.
Hey, John, there's while we're trying to get Jerry tracked back down, there's little things in Hook that, they aren't the major plot movers, but they're little remarks that you made that made it it's so enjoyable to read. And the one that kind of stood out to me early on was when you talked about Aunt Emily's mustache. How did you come up with these? How did you come up with those little nuggets that you wove in?
Yeah. Are you there, Jerry?
Hello?
Hello. Oh, here you go. Hey, you're on the air with me and Bobby and Richard and John.
Hi, John.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. I loved your reading.
Oh, thank you.
It was absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. I love to read a lot.
Turn the TV down.
Good.
Turn the TV down.
And perform whenever I can.
As well you should, because you do it well.
You have quite an acting.
I've just received a commission to turn the novel into a one-man play.
Oh, I think that's wonderful.
Brilliant. Oh,
that'll be fun.
That's great.
Bring it to
that's
L.A.
Great.
Yes. You got to start it out here so we can see it.
We would love to see it.
Great.
So.
Well, anyway, that's just what I wanted to say. And no, you don't have to sleep in the doghouse tonight.
Thank you. Because it would get really crowded in there.
It was nice meeting you, John, and loved having you on the show. And anytime you want to come back for screenwriting, playwriting, poetry, singing, and you can even read again if you want to.
And your wife.
I'd love to. Anytime you just let me know. I'm happy to come back on again.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You guys have a good night.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Talk to you later.
We should have your wife on. We should have your wife on as well. She's quite an accomplished writer.
She is. In fact, she just learned today that she has a memoir that has just been picked up by a publisher.
Excellent.
Nice. That'll be out in November.
Excellent.
So, how exciting.
Irene O'Garden is her name. She had a book of poetry published about a year ago, and she's had several books published, and her latest one will be coming out in November.
Outstanding.
That's exciting.
Well, as you learn, my wife does all the booking for the Writer's Block.
Well,
so
fantastic.
We call her the bookie. And she actually does a phenomenal job. And how she keeps it straight, I have no clue. I don't even try to get involved.
I'm glad she does that job and not me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She juggles people like you can't believe.
Yeah.
But when she actually sent me the book, and I opened it and I started. Oh, I gotta read another book, and then because we have to read a book a week. I mean, you know, and sometimes there's 600 pages, so we've got to go through some serious stuff. And like Richard was explaining last week, you know, the last 3 or 4 weeks before last week, it's been all dark, and I mean really dark stuff. So what a refreshing breath of air that we get, Hook's Tale.
Yeah.
And it just blows us up. Oh, my gosh. We just can't stop grinning and talking about your book. So you are welcome to come back on the Writer's Block whenever you want. Which brings me to my next question. Will you be writing another novel?
Well, I actually have two other novels that are essentially completed. I have each of them very different from this. And I'm kind of I need to sort of review them both again and make some minor adjustments and get them to a point where I'm really happy with them.
Mm-hmm.
One is a horror novel.
We like those.
And the other one is a novel that is it's sort of a mystery, multi-generational book that involves murder and fairies.
Mm.
Oh my God! In the same book?
That's all I'll
say.
What's her name? Tinkerbell, one of them. Please tell me.
No, these are not those kind of fairies. In fact, actually, the book starts out saying, you know, these fairies are not at all like Barry's fairies. These are Scottish fairies.
Ah, the little nasty little buggers.
You know, big wide mouths and sharp teeth, and
right,
they're not
right,
necessarily
right.
The nicest people to be around.
F-A-E-R-I-E-S, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Tinkerbell, she was such a snot.
Well,
Tink.
I'm sure Tink has her own story, too.
I'm sure she does, and we hope that someday we'll be able to read her story.
Yeah, John, when you said you had a mystery with fairies, I'm like, shut up and take my money. Just here.
Just go ahead and
use my money.
Yeah. Where do I sign?
Give us a heads up and we'll buy your books.
Yeah.
Hey, while we're waiting for Henry, why don't you give us an idea what your website is and your email and all that good stuff, where we can reach you?
Okay. My website is simply John Pielmeyer, if you can spell my name, which is JohnPielmeyer.
Right.
.com, and that's probably the best way to find me and reach me through that.
Okay, and yeah, that also includes your email address. And are you available on Facebook or no?
I am on Facebook. Yes.
Okay, under same name.
It's under same name. Yes.
Wow, and of course your The Hook's Tale is available on Amazon, all online booksellers, probably Barnes & Noble and all those good
Noble
stuff.
Barnes & Noble has it. Actually, I was out in L.A. a couple of weeks ago and did a signing at the Barnes & Noble in the Grove. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you can always shoot us an email when you're out here, and we'll meet you for lunch or whatever you want to do.
Oh, great, okay.
You know?
Oh, I'd love that.
You can see how ugly we truly are in person.
Or Albuquerque, if you come to Albuquerque.
Or you can go to Albuquerque and you can see Bobby Jean.
Yeah, I am coming to Albuquerque in June, so.
Ooh. Oh, you'll probably, but I have to warn you, you'll probably catch her in the shower.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not saying anything more.
Wise man. Wise
and
man.
You shouldn't either.
I'm not listening to them. I've learned. You just have to let
just
them.
Just let them ramble.
Does he apologize eventually?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Are you making a book appearance here, or you're coming just on business that just happens to bring you here?
I'm going to a family wedding. North of Santa Fe. So
okay. Oh, how well you'll be. Well, we'll be close, sort of.
Yeah, you'll like if you get to meet Bobby Jean, you'd just fall instantly in love. She's just
love
the nicest
to.
Lady.
I would love to.
She's. I mean, she was the first choice, the only choice for co-host of this show. So
that's great.
Thank you, Jim. I have to say, Flowers.
You know, I'm happy to do any. I'm happy to do a book appearance.
And we now have Henry Parker.
There is a charming bookstore called Bookworks.
I know, it just went right by her, didn't it?
In fact, they're going through a remodel right now, and they do almost an author event a night.
Bobby,
they're really amazing.
Oh, wow.
Bobby, we have Henry.
Okay.
Hello, Henry.
Hello.
Hey, Henry.
Hello, how's it going?
Well, meet John Pielmeyer, and you know Bobby, and you know Richard. This is Henry Park.
I do indeed. And I very much enjoyed, your reading. You have a terrific voice.
Thank you.
You bet.
Yes.
Thanks very much.
So, Richard has something to say to you.
I have one question for you. Have you spoken with Wes?
Wes Studi, you got your interview.
I got my interview.
It's about time.
It went great. And, you know, I'll tell you, did you see him on the Oscars introducing the tribute to military films?
No,
yes.
You know, we hear so much about the advances of women and minorities in the film industry, but we don't hear much about the original Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the last time an American Indian was a presenter in the Academy Awards?
No.
1934.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Jim Thorpe?
Will Rogers.
Oh, Will Rogers.
Hosted. No, Will Rogers, who was also a Cherokee, hosted.
Wow.
Yeah. And that is the last time.
I don't
the
know.
The only American Indian who has won an Oscar is Buffy St. Marie. She co-wrote the theme for An Officer and a Gentleman.
Oh, she did?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You're just full of information tonight, Henry.
Hey, we entertain and educate.
That's right. We entertain and educate.
That we do.
And talk about Bobby and the
always
show.
Trying. Well, I know it's been a while since I reported for you on the wonderful state of the Western and the Western-ish film.
It has been.
TV business. Yeah, that's due to my disorganization.
It's okay,
I do
Henry.
Have quite a bit of good news. Thank you.
We always know you're going to pop up.
Just never where.
Yeah, exactly.
But In the current roundup, I talk about the new Western Big Kill, starring Jason Patrick and Lou Diamond Phillips. It's coming this August from Archstone Films. The clip I have up there of Lou is just terrific. Just check it out.
Okay.
And, of course, season two of Westworld begins on HBO Sunday, April 22nd.
Right.
And I know I talked about the new Kevin Costner contemporary Western series Yellowstone that starts on the new Paramount Network on June 20th.
Mm-hmm.
But the big news is Kevin Costner just wrapped another a Depression-era Western called The Highwaymen.
Mm.
And, Costner and Woody Harrelson star as Frank Hamer and Mamie Galt, the two legendary Texas Rangers who came out of retirement to track down Bonnie Parker and Clyde Barrow.
Wow.
That was actually going to be done some years ago with Paul Newman and Robert Redford until Newman died.
Well,
and
it's put a kibosh on that.
Directed by... directed by John Lee Hancock, who wrote and directed 2004's The Alamo, and the script is by Hancock and John Fusco, who wrote Young Guns 1 and 2 and Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron and Hidalgo. So, you know, that's great talent.
Oh, wow.
Around.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. The INSP Network is famous for their blocks of Western TV and films on weekends. And they're starting their third season of their excellent reality series, The Cowboy Way Alabama. Very soon they're starting the third season. They are now shooting their first Western feature. It's called The Legend of Five Mile Cave. And I'm going to be on set next week as a journalist and an extra.
Excellent.
Fun.
Yeah.
Where are they filming it?
In Old Tucson.
Oh. Wow, next week's going to be like 108 degrees.
Yes, I'm very excited about
that. Take your
that
portable
part.
Air conditioner with you.
I hope they give me a hat.
Yeah, Tucson.
Speaking of
April.
Westerns for just a moment, I have to make a comment to John, if he's still with us, that did probably all enjoy the seaman that was had some cowboy roots on that ship.
Oh, yes.
Yes. One of my pirates is an American cowboy who has become disenchanted with the cowboy life and has decided to try the seaman's life.
Yeah.
Well,
it's quite fun that you had. You
sings cowboy songs on the ship.
You know, they say out of the pot, into the fire.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a bad career choice there.
It truly was. So what else you got for me, Henry?
Well, there's another Western that's rolling camera in less than a week. It's also based on a legendary lawman. It's called Bill Tillman and the Outlaws. And the really interesting thing I know about it is the cast, which includes Robert Carradine as Frank James, Darby Hinton, who is Israel Boone of the old Daniel Boone series, Younger, Johnny Crawford, Mark McCain from The Rifleman, as William S. Hart, Don Collier, Lana Wood from The Searchers, and more importantly, from the first movie I wrote, Speed Trap.
Wow.
Coming up pretty soon, April 21st and 22nd, we ought to say something about the Santa Clarita Cowboy
Festival.
Well,
I think you should, because we were going to anyway, so go ahead, Henry.
But you see, you guys know the details. I just know that I'm going to be there for 2 days, as always.
Yes, you do.
And we will, too. We'll be there with you.
We will. We'll be there both Saturday and Sunday. And it's going to be at the Buckaroo Bookshop inside of the William S. Hart Park in Newhall. Saturday, Bobby Jean and Jim Bell will be on site. And that'll be fun. And we have a host of writers coming in. Actually, I have a list here of who's going to be showing up for that particular day. We have, of course, myself and Richard. Courtney Joyner, he'll be there Saturday and Sunday. J.R. Sanders, Eric Heisner, Al Bringus, Bob Brill from KNX Radio. He writes a series of westerns called Lancer. Dale Jackson, he'll be there just Saturday. Johnny D. Boggs, who is a talking head from the History Channel and writer for, Roundup Magazine. And Johnny's just a great guy. Katie Ryan will be there both days. Peter Shirico both days. And Michael Blake for both days. So we have a really good lineup of writers, and it's going to be real terrific this year because it's not going to be overstuffed. And we have lots of room in the tent this year. So
yeah.
And, of course, Henry will be swinging by if you want to meet Henry Park. He'll be coming by. And okay,
that's your idea of a good time. Yeah,
Bobby Jean and Jim Bell will be there, and I wish you were coming out, John, because you'd have a ball at the Cowboy Festival.
That sounds great.
It's a lot of fun. It's 2 days of watching people walk by with spurs.
I just hope the guy with the Lone Ranger costume comes.
And back. A lot more than that.
And a lot more than that. I mean, they have the Lone Ranger and Hopalong Cassidy swing by, and they have just it's always like something going on.
And
so it's
Civil War reenactors.
Yeah, they got
them.
They're everywhere. Yeah. And Peter Sirico, who played Texas Jack in the movie Tombstone, he sits up front of the tent and holds court. So
there you go.
Yeah. Not court joiner, he just holds court. So.
No. Oh, speaking of court, if I can give Court and me a plug.
Absolutely.
Coming out this week, or it may already be out from Arrow Films in London, we did commentary on this double set of spaghetti westerns, A Pistol for Ringo and The Return of Ringo.
Really?
Yes, we did.
And
we're always doing that, talking through movies.
I know you. Yeah, I know you guys. You guys have a ball with that, and you actually make money, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is a definite plus.
Well, it always is a plus. So anyway, that's the Santa Clarita. Oh, what? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's just a ton of stuff coming up at the Autry in April.
Okay, mm-hmm. You got about
quickly,
30 seconds.
Okay, they're screening Sam Peckinpah's Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid on April 14th, the great silent Lillian Gish Western The Wind on the 21st, and that same night to introduce the Western to kids who don't know anything, An American Tale, Five Will Goes West.
Oh.
And you can read all about that and more at Henry's Western Roundup at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Thank you, sir. Yay. Have yourself a good one, Henry. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Actually, we'll see you.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah. We'll see you on
Absolutely.
The 21st, Henry.
So take
you
care. Stay out of trouble.
Square.
Okay. We'll be talking. Be good.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
And now you got to meet Henry Park. So aren't you thrilled, John?
It sounded great.
He's a great guy.
I could go to all these events.
Oh, I wish you could. You would have a ball. But then, you know, pirate events on the East Coast, I would love to go to. But, yeah, actually.
They're scary pirate events.
There you go. Yeah, but your book, he's really not a pirate.
No.
Well, no, he says I'm not a pirate.
No. Yeah.
He says there's one thing that I stole in my life, and I won't tell you what that is in the book. And he
right.
says it's the only time I ever pirated anything.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a pirate, so I don't know where he got this bad...
Vociferously declares that he's not.
Exactly.
That. It's that lying Scotsman.
It's that lying J.M. Barrie. Constantly lying. And Tink lies all the time,
too. Dour little Scotsman.
There you go. Well, John, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute
thank
hoot
you
having you on the air
me.
With it.
Oh, great fun. It's,
like I said, you're welcome to come back. Just get ahead of the bookie, and she'll get you booked for another time. I think right now we're booked up through the year, so...
Okay,
it'll be 2019.
Or we'll just throw somebody off.
Yeah, we'll just dump them and get you back on.
Dump them.
I mean, you know, we got
you
big people coming
call
up.
In
or
give us
you
a
know, just
update.
Get on the air more. That's all.
Well, yeah, you know, we've been thinking about that too. I just don't know if we can do that. Okay, next week we have writer. What is her name? I don't know. Something Lee?
Yes.
I have it, but I don't have it.
Karen Lee.
There you go. It's written, actually, it's her memoir. So it's so far I've gotten to a funeral, and I'm not too sure where it's going to go from there. Anyway, she'll be with us. And then, of course, the following week when Bobby Jean is in studio is John Sanford, and he'll be with us that night. And then the following week with Russ is Bruce Selheim in his book. So we got a full month coming up. Thank you again, John, for joining us. It's been a hoot having
you. Thank you.
And I really, truly do hope you do well with Hook, because it is a wonderful story. And get those other books out there, because we're waiting now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So take care, my friend, and we'll be back with you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye, John.
Bye-bye.
And... John Palmer, what a guy!
He is every bit as good as his book was.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Bobby Jean, it's always a pleasure having you on the show with us. You know that we love you.
Happy to be here.
Oh my gosh, and we're looking so forward to having you in the studio on the 19th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 weeks. I can't believe it's only two weeks.
Hot damn.
And 2 weeks and 2 days till the peach cobbler will flow.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, this year, Bobby, we are paying the kids to get the food.
So
they are not working for anybody but us.
Right. I heard you say that. That's
yes,
great.
That is. Yeah. Because I remember before we couldn't find them. They weren't around.
Yeah.
Nah. We're gonna fix that this year. So, and of course, the writers are still going to have to tip them. But we're going to pay them. Anyway,
sure.
That's our show for tonight. It's another Thursday. We have definitely shot in the butt. For Bobby Jean Bell, for Richard Palinelli, and myself, Jim Christina, this is The Writer's Block. And you were listening to LA Talk Radio. And we, my friends, are out of here.